In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What goes out of the man's mouth, that defiles him, Jesus says. I would argue, not to argue against Jesus, but I would argue, and I think he would agree, what you put in, though, is what you're going to ultimately put out. If all I do, and he's talking about washing hands and following their laws that they built up, not God's laws, but if all I ever do is put junk into my ears, if all I ever do is watch images that God has not given me to watch, all I'm going to put out are abuses against God's law. It is important that my eyes see that which is good, true, and beautiful. It is important that that is what my ears receive and hear. It is essential that I see God's word, that I hear God's word, that I read it, mark it, and inwardly digest it, so that what I put out is God's word. Whether you eat bacon or tofu, whether you have a nice juicy burger or a salad, these things don't necessarily defile you. We do not have a distinction between clean and unclean food. Jesus is very clear on this. And when we read the book of Acts, we see that this is an extension to the church. For God proclaims to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter says, "No, Lord, nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth." And God says, "What I have made clean, neither shall you call unclean or common. Rise, Peter, kill and eat." This conversation happens thrice to ensure that Peter gets the message. And when we get to the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, we see once again that this is not included in the prohibitions of that first church council. So you are free to eat pig's meat. You are free to eat shellfish, and you are free to eat a salad with homemade dressing. You are free in these things. They do not make you unclean. But what you take in matters. Not just in what you put into your belly, as he says, that will all come out, but what you put in your heart, what you receive. Let it be the word of God. Let it be his law. For in his law, the righteous man meditates day and night. Not because the law and following the law saves us, but because this shows us how God desires his children to live. God has given us his commandments. Yes, in a very scary way on Mount Sinai. As you saw, the people were so frightened by the thunderings and the lightnings that they basically say, "You know what, Moses? We don't ever really want to talk to God. You do that for us. He is so magnificent, so great, he frightens us. We're afraid that if we're anywhere near him, we're going to die. So Moses, you do it for us." Moses then is not the one who gives the law, but he is the one that receives the law and proclaims it to the people. You know these laws. These are, of course, the Ten Commandments. They show us how we are called to live. They curb our appetites from our sinful flesh and instead look toward God and our neighbor. And they give us a guide for how he wants us to live. In the first table of the law, God lays out his relationship to us. "I am the Lord your God." He brought the Israelite people out of bondage in Egypt. He brings us out of the bondage that is our sin. That is our slavery, apart from Christ. And he demands that we should have no other gods. anywhere near his face. And I don't mean as long as I put it somewhere where I think God can't see. Of course, he's all-knowing. And I don't mean you should be like Rachel and hide them under your seat, but that you should have no other gods. Not just in order. It's not like as long as I put God first, I can have all the other false gods I want. I can worship Buddha and Dharma and all the wonderful things that our devil has designed to overthrow us with. No other gods. For he has proclaimed, I am Jehovah, Yahweh. I am that I am, none other. And you shall make sure that as I have placed my name upon you, that you call upon it, you pray and you praise my name. You are not to call down damnation on anyone using my name. You are not to shout out when you're startled the name of my son, Jesus the Christ. Keep his name holy and pure in your hearts and then out of your mouth. You are to sanctify the holy day. You are to worship me and worship me alone. This is God's command in the first table, our relationship with him. And when that relationship is correct, when it is firmly founded on Jesus the Christ, then the second table follows a little bit more clearly. For Jesus sums up all these laws in you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, basically your entire being, and a second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if you have no other gods, if you keep his name pure among your lips and your thoughts, and if you sanctify the worship day, that is, you devote your entire being and life to me, then the way you treat your neighbor should follow. The Sanhedrin tried to make their own laws. They were willing to reject parts of that second table in order to build themselves up. They would say things like, you know what, you don't really have to honor father and mother as long as you pay a proper temple tax. It's taking God's law and saying that we can change it to benefit our church hierarchy. That we can make our own rules even when those rules go against God's word. And the church then should follow us. That is why we as Lutherans are so diligent to the Word of God. Not a pope, not a bishop somewhere else, or a patriarch of a foreign land. We submit ourselves to the King of Kings. So we honor those in authority. We give respect for human life. We remember our vows, and we keep them pure and chaste. We give thanks to God for what we have and what our neighbors have. And we make sure that our tongue is used to praise God and not to gossip or tell lies about anyone else. This flows from a pure heart, a heart that is made pure not because of who we are, but a heart that is made pure by taking in the word, by taking in that word attached to bread and wine, making it Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. When we make our own rules, especially when those rules go against God's word, then we are whitewashed tombs. We are the blind leading the blind, which means we can help no. Let us trust instead that Jesus knows what he's talking about. When he says, take, eat, this is my body. Drink of this cup, all of you, this is my blood. We trust it. We submit to it. We do not have a blind man leading us. He is the eternal word, the truth, the way, and the life. In the name of Jesus. Amen.